jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, excited to be here today. I'm excited every day. September 1st. Man, oh man, where did the summer go? And you know, it's like under 60 degrees here in Ohio. I we think of football dog days of August. We expect it to be hot, and it's amazing. We roll into September. We got 20 some days before we heading to down to the Houston area. John said to us just before we went on the air, they have more volunteers than they need in Houston right now. No, that's not true. They need every one of them. The problem is they're not organized, right? People aren't organized. So the volunteers come there and they don't know where to place them because, again, hate to keep beating on that horse, church isn't organized. Churches don't even communicate with each other. The churches in the community do not have a collective plan of how we're going to come together and help people. We have no collective plan of that at all. And the pastors, unfortunately, I'm just going to tell it like it is, Matt, and we're going to get on with it. The pastors are connected to their denomination. And I suppose that's a good thing. But I don't know what the heck some guy sitting up in Indianapolis can do to help a guy down in Texas, some overseer, whatever they call them. We've lost the independence of the pastor, and the pastor bows to the denomination because all the money and everything's connected to the denomination. And unfortunately, you try to get a group of pastors together, and it's worse than herding cats. It just is. Spirit of competition amongst them. They don't agree on doctrine. It's just the things we separate. It's like I said yesterday, you know, people want to vet what we're doing. They're going to vet us. We've got a plan. We got people. We've already got 30 people signed up to go to the first wave. In fact, we're not taking any more this first wave because we can't house any more than 30 at this point. We got 30 people that are going to go down there, and they want to vet us. I mean, it's crazy, man. The whole world is crazy. And then I came across this. I've got the greatest teaching to do today, but I'm not feeling like released to do it. But here's part of my problem. I got Glenn Beck syndrome. Yeah, I do. I have Glenn Beck syndrome. You say, what are you talking about? Hard to keep me focused. And if you notice, Glenn Beck had to lay off 20% of his staff at the Blaze. And a lot of the criticism they got, people say he's a great visionary, but he doesn't stay focused. He moves from this to this. He's constantly changing what it is he wants to do. And as a result, the empire, the media empire he's building is crumbling. You know, I lost Glenn Beck in the whole Ted Cruz thing. I love Ted Cruz, but I lost Glenn Beck then. And I'm never going to go back to Glenn Beck. And here's part of the issue. We run into these problems when one guy's making all the plans. He's the visionary. And again, there has to be a vision. Don't get me wrong. I'm the visionary behind Pass the Salt and the Salt and Light Brigade. But it isn't just about me. And I commented to my wife this morning, man, oh, man, I can't believe what a team of guys I got around me. I just can't believe it. And for the first time, and I've been working hard at this for quite a while, first time I feel like I can pick up the phone and call somebody, and they'll get it done. Chad is basically handling the whole thing down there in Texas. I know he's got guys helping him, but Chad's handling it. And Sarge is doing the logistics and stuff out of Ashland, Maine, if you can believe that, running his thing from Ashland, Maine. And Rich is sitting out there in the heart of Missouri, St. Louis area, and he's getting food. And I mean, who am I forgetting? Rob Pugh. I heard from Rob Pugh last night. They opened up their ministry center last night with Usama Dak Doc up in Marshfield, Wisconsin. They had a packed house. They had more people than they had seats. They've got people who are interested. See, we are poking while it's all timing. It's all timing. I want to continue to encourage you that you are not alone. We are not alone. We're not. And what we have to do is we have to be, as I did a little video yesterday, failing to plan is planning to fail. And there's a real urgency in the heart of everybody to want to run down to Houston right now. I'm going to tell you, there isn't anything you can do, very little that you can do down there. Everything's underwater still, right? People aren't back to their homes. They're in shelters. There are things that you can do, but there's very little you can do. And a good planner says, okay, that's why Sarge is such doing such a great job for us. A good planner says, okay, that's good. I'm not worried about today. I'm worried about next week. I'm not worried about next week. I'm worried about 3 weeks down the road. And that's what we are trying to do. Our fundraising is going well. We can use more. Our fundraising is going well. And we're finding places down there on the ground where we're going to be able to strategically stage from. We want to have a warehouse where we're going to be able to put product and ship it out. And we got some good plans coming, folks. We've got some good plans. And I hear from guys every day, Coach, I want to go. I want to go. And they're talking right now. Just isn't a whole lot to do right now. Thank God for Josh, who's down there, and Chris and those guys that are running that boat, rescuing people on boats. God bless them. But that period of time is going to stop here as soon as the water goes down. So we got to be prepared to move forward. And just, I'm just excited about the direction we're going. So I started to say, I don't want to be like Glenn Beck. I want to stay solid in my vision. But the vision has always been the same, to raise up individual men in their communities who are going to raise up other individual men, going to lead men right where they are. Because the guys in this queue are leaders. Chad's the leader. Rich is the leader. Sarge is the leader. George is the leader. I could go on. I don't mean to eliminate everybody. You're leaders. You're leaders. And one thing the church doesn't do is it doesn't equip men to lead. It does not equip its leaders to lead. That's what we try to do. And if this thing called the Salt and Light Brigade has to be a top down, a pyramid top down, it isn't going to work. I've been busy as can be last couple of days. I can't tell you the number of interviews I've done. And I'm doing it because the more we get the word out, the greater the people are who come to our support. I watched a video yesterday. I was going to play this today, but I thought it was too self-promoting. Somebody sent it to me. Pastor Charles Lawson, I believe he's down in, I think he's in Knoxville. I don't know. I watch him on the internet. I mean, I really like the guy. He's an old-fashioned, hard-hitting preacher who stands in his pulpit and talks to people about what's going on around him and the New World Order and the deep state, way pastors ought to be doing, in my humble opinion. And yesterday, somebody sent me a video, and in the middle of his sermon, he starts talking about us and what we're doing. And then we don't need to wait on the government. We don't need to talk about Coach Dave and the men that he's leading up and taking bread and doing all that stuff. Folks, this is a model. This could become a model. Now, we're not the only ones, because as we find out when we get to disasters, there's already crews that out there. This is the barbecue group. There are groups like this everywhere. But I picture us being, when a disaster hits your local area, George, when it hits in your neighborhood, you say, Coach, we need help, and we all come and help. You organize locally, but you say, we need help. And if the trouble hits in Chad's area, we run to Chad. If it hits in Rich's area, we run to Rich. If it's wherever. It's the model of the old civil defense that we used to have back in the 60s. This isn't hard. The church is already networked. This isn't hard. And we can. It's not just for disasters. Guys, we have a moral disaster in America. We have a moral disaster. So we got to stand up and push back against this morality that's gone on. Ann Coulter, I was just glancing through some stuff today. Ann Coulter wrote a commentary, Deep State 47, Trump nothing. And she's basically right. They're cleaning out. Every Trump supporter is being cleaned out, and they're bringing deep state people in. Now, that are we going to let what's happened here? We're going to let it just wander away. That, to me, that's what this whole thing is about. We cannot avoid the political realm, although that's what they want us to do. They want to keep our voice out of the political realm, and we can't. We've got to stand up. I got so much good stuff to show. But I want this to be rather than what I want to talk about. I got one thing I'm going to pull up here for sure. I want this to be a kind of a Friday free-for-all, you know? You go to church every Sunday, and the pastor decides what you're going to talk about. And I don't want my show to become that. I'm not even my show. I don't want this to become that. You know, this is a Bible study. I just saw some guys online were talking about the great men's Bible study that they were having. And I thought, that's really, really good. It really is good. But isn't it great that you don't have to go, you have to leave your house to have a Bible study? You can click this thing on here and we can fellowship and get to know each other and dig deep into the word. So I always want you to know, everybody here, that Your 2 cents is always worth 2 cents. It always matters.
Thanks,
a lot of times, you're welcome, Vince. A lot of times, that's not true in the church. Your 2 cents doesn't matter. Your 2 cents matters in the plate that passes. But otherwise, your 2 cents doesn't matter. And if you had 2 cents that you wanted to put in regards to what was going on in the church, who would you go to? Most churches, you couldn't get to the pastor. You'd get to some underling. You'd get some gatekeeper. Wouldn't let you get to the pastor, especially the bigger the church grows. How many pastor? Think about that word a minute. Pastor. I'm your pastor. He's my pastor. Okay. I wonder how many people that go to John Hagee's church that he doesn't even know. I wonder how many people that go to John Hagee's church have never had a personal conversation with their pastor. I wonder how many of the 17,000 people at Joel Osteen's church has Pastor Joel had a relationship with. See, it's all electronic. It's all electronic. You go sit in those mega churches and you sit down and you do what we do here. The guy stands up on the pulpit and preaches, but you don't watch him, you watch the monitor. So really, the church service that you're having, you might as well stay home. Really. And your skills are not developed or used or valued. They're not at all. Because the vision of the church, and I'm sorry, let me get this out of the way. People say, well, that's not the mission of the church. And the reason it's not the mission of the church is because the church, for the most part, doesn't have a mission. They don't have any idea. They have no vision. I said this before. Go to your church this Sunday and ask him, hey, pastor, do me a favor. Give me some of my friends have been asking me, could you give me a copy of our mission statement? And it's going to be very nebulous. It's going to be like the gospel to the world and all stuff like this. And No. I watched the Buckeyes last night. They started out rough, ended up, made some great adjustments at halftime, played really good the second half. But I bet you when Urban Meyer sat down with his coaching staff to prepare for Oklahoma, or they had Oklahoma this week, prepared for Indiana, I bet he didn't say, okay, boys, listen, we're just going to run and we're going to pass and we're going to score and we're going to kick. And they'd say, coach, what are you talking about, coach? Come on, man. Oh, okay. So you mean, how are we going to run and how are we going to pass them? What plays are we going to use? What defense? Oh, you want to know that? So you go to your church and you say, pastor, show us the mission statement. He's going to say, we're going to run, we're going to pass, we're going to punt, we're going to kick, and we're not going to fumble. That ain't a plan. That isn't a plan. See, the mission statement, Declaration of Independence, is a mission statement. Okay? The Constitution is the execution of the mission statement. You get that? See, our churches are full of mission statements and no Constitution. Why? Because the pastor walks in there every Sunday and he decides what he's going to preach on. That's why I like Pastor Charles Lawson. Why I watch him online. It's amazing how the Lord connects people, isn't it? You know what really amazed me? He started talking about, he mentioned about us, things that we were doing, helping people out. And he said, Coach Dave, and somebody in the audience starts talking about it. It went quiet for a minute. Somebody in the audience starts talking about what we're doing. I'm saying, man, we're making an impact. This is good. People are seeing that what we're doing is good. I want to win. I want to fight. I was on Facebook last night. I don't have cable in my house. I watched the Ohio State Buckeyes on the internet last night. I watched. And I'd go over to Facebook. You don't see all these armchair quarterbacks talking about what the Buckeyes ought to be doing. Where are the armchair Christians? Are there any armchair Christians out there at all? Any armchair Christians talking about what the church ought to be doing? Don't see many of them. Pray. And I got a little flack yesterday because somebody said, so let's start a prayer chain. And here's another prayer chain. Jump in here and pray for Houston. Jump in here and do it all. Let's pray for that. So pray. What are you talking about? I want a work chain. Give me a work chain. Let's go work. Let's pray as we go. A whole different version of Christianity. Free for all Friday. I got that off my chest. I got some stuff to share with you. What's on your heart out there, anybody?
Hey, free for all. I specifically went to the Concordance and everywhere. My memory couldn't find one. I couldn't find a prayer chain anywhere in the Bible. Now, it seems when it comes to praying, there's our way. But if you search the Bible, God's way. Which one do you think works the best?
Amen. Amen. I don't even know what I'm with you, Larry. I don't even know what a prayer chain is. And I don't think you'll find that in anywhere. And for the most part, we've substituted prayer for action. Substituted prayer. I appreciate prayer. I hope there are a lot of people out there praying for us right now. Pray in $1 million for us. Do that. I hope you're doing that. But we're going to go spend it. Now, are the people down there, see, the money that's coming in, it's sitting in the bank account. Is it doing anybody any good? We prayed the money in. Well, let's pray the money out. And how do you pray the money out? You go, you take it, you go do it. Yes.
Amen. You're talking about prayer. Heidi Bagley yesterday covered that. She said she had met with Michelle there at the Watchman. Mentioned that that's our Air Force. The prayer cover is our Air Force. So it isn't important. It doesn't mean, you know, prayer chain is kind of a word, but the prayer itself and interceding. And she said that she would be teaming up with you
there,
for
Sarge,
prayer cover.
We got to connect that, Sarge, because there is our coordinators. No sense reinventing the wheel.
Guys, once again, I hate to be the – no, I don't.
No, you don't. Come on.
I'm going to be the one to say, hey, let's take what the Bible says about stuff a little bit here. You know, intercessory prayer warriors. Jesus says there's one intercessor, and that's him. Enough said. We've got to take this mental concept that we've received from going to these indoctrinated false teachings all these decades, and we got to get that crap out of our heads and start putting the Word of God into our heads.
Well, I agree with that to the point, though, Larry. Here's what I would say. I'm talking about targeted prayer. I believe in targeted prayer, the power of agreement. I believe in that. And so the idea that people are just sitting around, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I believe in targeted prayer.
Coach,
and I think that as just prayer is just going up. No, target prayer. Let's target our prayer. Yeah. I believe that can be effective. Yes.
Something that I know, because I'm getting the same requests and everything like that, and what happens is it seems like people choose to use prayer almost like a cop-out.
They do.
It's like, we're going to pray. You know, it's an easy cop-out. It's an easy, you know, they don't have to get involved then. And that's what, I've got the same issue as you do. I'm getting these stupid requests. And it's like, dude, I've already written up a little note that I can just copy and paste. And it says, okay, you serious about this? Put your money where your mouth is. Here's Coach Dave's link, and go give $5. You know, go give something. You know, target, you know, this prayer chain stuff is cool, but you want to get some action? Let's get some action. Come on, get in the game.
That's right.
This pop-out prayer stuff. And I'm not dissing prayer, because prayer works. Prayer is needed. But a lot of people do this stuff. This is just a cop-out. They don't have to get involved sort of thing.
So how about this one, Ray? I saw this about four times on the internet yesterday. Larry, are you listening? I know you are. Prayer changes things. Hey, Larry, where does it say that? Where does it say that? The prayer changes things. See, prayer is a weapon. It's one of the weapons. It's not an activity unto itself. Prayer is the energy that goes through the, well, let's think about it. I got lights on here in my studio. And I have lights on here in my studio because I went over on the wall and I hit a switch and the lights came on. And somehow power came through power lines and brought light into mine. That's what prayer is. Prayer lights the bulbs. It lights the bulbs. I can turn the lights on and not be here. Do we have a show? No. So prayer turns on the lights. Prayer empowers the action. But to think that prayer alone is the answer, prayer changes things, that's nifty. I'm not making fun of prayer. You know what changes things? Taking somebody a freaking hamburger. That changes things. Somebody's hungry, you feed them. That changes things. Not prayer. Oh, see, I'm going to hear from him now. I'm going to hear from them. You got to do both. Do you think we don't pray? Do you think I don't pray? But I'm going to tell you, I don't sit around all day and pray. And I'm not criticizing those of you who are called to do that. It's action, boys. Faith without works. It's dead. Dead faith. Show me your faith. Show me your prayers. Show me show me your prayers. And see, I believe that prayer has enabled us to already move and take back turf. But we just want to pray. Nobody wants to go take back turf. Go, Bobby, I think that was you. Whoever that was.
Yeah, we're told to be prepared. I just went and filled up all my gas containers and topped off everything and got kerosene for the winter because, you know, I know the Lord, but I don't think my containers are magically going to be filled.
Absolutely. Come on. Come on, man. We're smarter than this, aren't we?
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah.
The Bible, I don't know. As far as I know, it doesn't say.
You broke up. Larry, you're muted.
The prayer. I don't think the Bible says prayer changes things. The Bible says the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth. Now, the key there.
What
the key there is
there?
Righteous man, not effective prayer. Righteous man
righteous
going to be praying God's way.
Say that again, Larry. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The righteous man is the one who availeth much. Jared, look up availeth. Look up that word real quickly. Availeth.
Coach.
I'm going to make a phone call here in just a second. Josh Manna just sent me a text. He just arrived in Port Arthur, and he says it's grim.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
James 5:16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Availeth. Are you looking that up, Jared? I feel like I'm yelling at you, Jared. I'm sorry. Avail. It's a transitional verb. To be of use. To be of use, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes him usable. The effects to produce or result as a benefit or advantage. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man produces a result. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is to make use of, to take advantage of. They avail themselves of his services. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man empowers the man to do something. That's the way that I hear it. Not prayer. It avails much. Are you getting this? It avails much. It makes things possible. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes things possible. Makes what possible? Action! Action! We want God to move. I think he's standing right at the door, ready to move. Says, come on, let's go.
Coach.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that, where were you when I needed to be fed and clothed? Visit me in prison? Visit me in hospital?
That's what he said.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Hey,
hang on.
Coach.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, does our prayer activate our faith, and then faith helps us to do good works, right? Once we're saved, it's all about good works, right? Mm-hmm. So prayers really, we spend time with the Lord, our faith gets activated and energized, and then we want to do the good works.
So George, last night during the Ohio State game, and next week you'll be praying for Oklahoma, I suppose, during the Ohio State football game last night, What if one of those football players, I can tell you, one of them scored his first touchdown last night. I can't remember his name, doesn't matter. Scored his first touchdown in his career ever. So had overcome a lot of obstacles to be there. I wonder if before the game he prayed that he might be able to score a touchdown. And then he scores a touchdown. What? Did the Lord pick him up and carry him and drop him down in the end zone? How did he get in the end zone? Oh, he ran it? He ran there? Other guys blocked people, knocked him down. He ran there. He didn't just have a miracle and end up in the end zone. We're so stupid here. Come on, church. Stay with me a second here. I just got to, I'm going to try to get Josh on live here down in Port Arthur. It's kind of treacherous. Oh, egged on it. Yeah. Jared just says, voice call. Yes, I do. And it says, you must disable air. Oh, how did that get on? Airplane. Somebody's messing with my phone. I'm telling you. Somebody's messing with my internet. I think I'm more important. Hang on, bear with me here. It's not on airplane mode. Maybe Josh is on airplane mode. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Josh, I'm trying to call you. I can't get the daggone thing to go.
Hey, Coach, you know, sometimes we lose the flavor in our translations of the Bibles over the years. Availeth. It doesn't just mean to work. It means to exercise with force, have might, and to much work.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. So I can't. So now I can't searching. I can't even.
And then also,
I can't turn off.
You need to understand the righteous. You know, a righteous man. It's not just about anybody out in the world praying. Of course, our righteousness is filthy rags. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. It's not just praying. It's not just about anybody doing any work. It's truly about a true believer in Christ. A righteousness in Christ, those that will actually availeth much. That's why this is the calling of the church to get down there and do something, not just anybody.
Amen, amen, amen. Hang on. I think I figured it out. Let's see if Josh picks up here down in Port Arthur. He drove all night to get down there to relieve these guys.
Coach, you got me loud and clear?
I got you loud and clear and live around the world, Josh. Give us a full report of what's going on down there, man.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. It was an interesting drive coming in this morning. Obviously, real dark night tonight. But I tell you what, when you get in close to here, anywhere around Houston, there are many roads are flooded. I mean, we're talking 18, 24 inches. They're coming up to the running boards on the truck. I mean, it is it's something to see. I tell you what, I came over here across this last bridge that I was supposed to go under. They had a depth gauge right there on the side of the thing, and it said 6 foot deep. And sure enough, there was a pickup truck flipped over with all four wheels pointed straight up in the air. I couldn't believe it. It is just something down here. Like it seems like something out of a movie. I tell you what, every mile or so for the past 30 miles coming in here, I'd say actually a little bit longer than that, but every mile or so, you would see clumps of cars just abandoned on the side of the road. There were hundreds and hundreds of people just abandoning their cars, walking at one point. It's a crazy scene down here, Coach. It is absolutely nuts. I don't know.
If it's not the end of the world, you can see it from there, huh, Josh?
Hey, well, I tell you what, for all you preppers out there, this is a little taste of what y'all have been thinking about. Because I tell you what, it is the wild, wild west out here, as Chad likes to put it. I mean, I tell you, I was talking to Chris, our local, or our contact down here, and he was telling me they stayed in this cockroach motel the other night, and 10 rooms down from them, a woman ended up getting shot in the head. So it is crazy around here. We're taking all the necessary precautions, of course. But you know what, Coach? Hey, somebody's got to come in here where it gets dirty. Somebody's got to come in here to where these people are and deliver a message. You hear me?
I hear you, brother. Chris.
And the fact of the matter is that we have a great setup. How about this? Chris ended up, from what I understand, rescuing a woman and her possibly five children, if I have that correctly, and got her to safety. His son, Chris's son, drove her into Houston, and she was gracious enough to give us her home to stay in. So we've got Chris and his 8-man team. We're posted up in her house right now, and of course, Chris is such a gentleman. He's doing when he should be sleeping, he's over there cleaning up her house and making it look nice. So we're trying to make a big impact in this neighborhood. I haven't been to the neighborhood yet, but from what I understand, it's right across the street from an elementary school. From what I understand, it's a little bit of a, I don't know, lower class area. I don't know what you want to call it around here, but listen, these people are hurting is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know what we did, Coach? What we did is we took the money that all of our supporters, all of your supporters, Coach, what we did is we took the money that people donated, and we bought grills, and we bought charcoal, and we bought beef, and we bought hot dogs, and we were grilling out for these folks, and we got food for 100 people.
There you go.
We are going to, listen, what briquettes with the made out of real wood. Okay, so these things are going to smoke and they're going to smell delicious. And I tell you what, every single person in that neighborhood is going to be coming over to where we're at. Listen, I got toys for the children. I got candy for the children. All you people that donated, and you know what we're missing right now? We don't have good, solid gospel tracks. That's what we need. We need Bibles and tracks. You know, I had to go get 20-something size D batteries because we got bullhorns and we got to preach the gospel. The gospel has to go forth.
Amen.
Here we are in Fort Arthur, Texas, and here, this is what your money's going to, folks. Listen, I am stuck. Listen, they ran out of, okay, excuse me. The city shut down the water. There is no water flowing in this city. We have to take the buckets that you guys paid for to fill up the toilets every morning. Okay, we're taking the money that you gave us, and I went and bought 60-something gallons of water, and the truck and the boat, we are loaded down heavy. And the point is that we got to feed and get water to our guys. Listen, the guys that you all are supporting, okay, these guys did an incredible, incredible job yesterday. Listen, Chris told me that it was something out of a movie, something like you've never seen before. The Lord had put them in just the right spot. And the reason being is because in this other location where they had been previously, there was 45 boats sitting there waiting for orders. Chris, the Lord impressed upon Chris to go to another location where there were no boats. At that moment, from what I understand from Chris, there was a neighborhood that had the water had risen 8 feet in roughly 30 minutes. Okay, so we got a whole neighborhood that flooded out, and these people are panicked, and they are, I mean, you can imagine. So what happens is Chris and his crew, once again, we have very brief conversations. So from what I understand, over 120, 125 plus people were rescued and delivered to the LZ where they had multiple Black Hawk helicopters rescuing people out of there, airlifting them out of there. So listen, our boys, your money, the $1,000 that Coach sent was gas and fuel and boat oil and supplies that got those people off of their roofs and into a Black Hawk helicopter to get them out of there to safety. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. We're grateful. We appreciate you. These people need you down here. We're grateful. I'm grateful to my family that donated for the first time to Coach's ministry. I'm grateful to you folks. All I'm saying is we're getting work done. This ministry is effective. Coach, we're grateful. We love you. This ministry is effective. I'm telling you, it's working down here.
Well, brother, we want to keep your tanks full, so you got to figure out what you need and how we can get it to you, brother, because the people are out there. They are sending money our way, and we got to get it into your hands, Josh.
All right. Well, let me put it this way. $1,000 burns up quick.
I bet.
So listen, that's where we're at. But hey, I mean, we're feeding hundreds of people, and we're taking care of our boys that are doing the work. So I mean,
okay. Well, I'm gonna say this. I got a group of guys who are working as overseers of this project, but I'd like to. Be my plan to send you $5,000 as soon as we can get it down there so you guys can do whatever you need to do with it. Sarge, be thinking about how we're going to do that. And Josh, where we could wire the money, how we can get the money to you that somebody can get it into your hand.
Well, I guess, Coach, we can do it the same way. I opened up a separate account and we're keeping all this ministry.
I mean, is there a bank down there that you can get to? Yeah.
You know what? I don't know about that. You know, banks. I'm worried about getting fuel. Okay, there's no fuel in Austin. There was no fuel in San Antonio. Yeah. I was talking to truckers. There's a fuel shortage right here. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me home safely. I mean, Coach, I'm grateful. It's going to be awesome. Folks, I'm grateful. I'm serious. But you got to understand, that's a drop in the bucket. This catastrophe is the entire coast wide. I mean, there's millions and millions of people affected, and I just want to say once again that we're grateful. So,
amen. Anybody in the queue have a question for Josh? Stay with us here, Josh. I don't know if you can hear the question. I'll repeat it.
Okay, go ahead.
Josh, do you have PayPal?
Do you have PayPal, Josh?
PayPal. You know what? We had PayPal at one point, and
that's not the problem, though, Josh. The problem is actually finding a bank that's open. We can get the money to you. We got to find a bank that's open.
Hey, coach. I got it. First of all, if we can go through my bank account, my wife is at home, and she'll be happy to take care of everything. And I got the card, and you know, I don't know. I'm sure we'll be able to figure it out. We can talk off there about that.
Okay, cool. But, cool. We'll get it to you. We'll go, okay. We're going to get you $5,000 today. Go, anybody else have it? Anybody else?
You might be able to put on a debit card. Debit would work better.
See, here's our problems, John.
Hey,
here's
Coach.
Our problem. There ain't no banks. There ain't any place to run a debit card. Yes.
Hey, Coach. Coach, I'm literally 4 hours away from there. I have means of gas cans and filling up gas cans from here and driving the 4 hours and meeting him and dropping off gas supplies. Because I know I knew the gas was going to be a situation. It's going to be worse. And that's even in the state of Louisiana because part of that flooded in that area. So a lot of those gas stations are closed too.
Josh, I know you can't hear Dale. Pastor Dale's 4 hours from you. I'm going to connect you to. We'll get the money to you through him. He'll bring gas cans. He'll bring a bunch of stuff and supplies in that way. Okay. So I'm going to let you guys communicate. I'll get each other's phone number and we'll get the money to Dale or however we do it. We'll get it to him and we'll get this thing rolling. All right.
All right, Coach. Appreciate you. Love you, man.
Okay. Anybody else?
Just want to thank him. Thank you, Josh.
Yep. There's a bunch of thank yous from everybody, Josh. I mean, it's amazing, brother. It is amazing. Now, listen, Josh, you tell Chris Keys, if you guys have any need at all, call. We've got the money. You call so we can get the money into your hands. We don't have to pass it through the government, FEMA, Red Cross, all that stuff. You guys are boots on the ground, and we want to keep you guys stocked up and doing what you're doing.
Okay, well, that's great. Appreciate it very much. And, you know, Coach, I'm going to get you some great footage on here because this is it is something to see. And as these events develop, you're going to get a lot of video footage. I don't know if Jared, hopefully Jared can, like, edit it together a little
bit,
make it look right. But I mean, this is something to see, folks. I'm telling you, if you can make it out this next trip, Coach, give them the dates. If y'all can make it out, it's worth it. I'll tell you what, worth it.
Okay, I'm coming on the 8th. Next weekend, I'll be there. We're setting up an event for the 21st. Everything's going to change, Josh. It'll be an entirely different scene in 2 weeks, and we're planning for that scene.
Okay.
So we're moving forward in the right direction. We're honored that you would be down there representing us, brother. We thank you for your willing heart. And scripture says that no soldier goes to warfare at his own charges or at his own expenses. We're going to keep your supply lines running, brother. And I'm going to connect you with Pastor Dale and let you guys figure out how to make this happen. All right.
All right. Great, Coach. It's going to be awesome. Appreciate you. Love you.
We love you guys too. Say hi to Chris for me. All right, bud.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Hey, Jared, maybe we can even figure out how we can just take that clip with him and we can just cut that clip, even the audio of that. That would be good. Hey, boys, that's boots on the ground stuff right there, ain't it? Huh? That's boots on the ground right there. Man, oh, man. Could you, I don't know about you, did you hear the urgency in his voice? Huh? He needs more than prayer.
He needs action. Hey, Coach, do you think yep. he got vetted? A bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I don't think he did. You know, unfortunately, I can't recommend him to anybody else because we haven't vetted him yet. I hate to tell you this. I believe he speaks in tongues. I don't know. I don't know. We'll check it out and see if he does here.
The testimony of the people he took to safety will make it all worth it.
Oh, my goodness. Not only the testimony, John, whether we hear it or not, whether they ever testify or not, they rescued people that were perishing. Let's think about that.
Yeah.
Rescue the perishing. And what did he say? Who wants to come down here? It's like the end of the world, right? But you got to go where they are. And what does it mean to perish? What does that word mean? Rescue the perishing. How? Pray for them? Let's pray for them. Lord, pray that you'll send somebody. Well, we are praying that we'll send somebody. We are. Hey, Dale, right now, I'm emailing you his contact number, okay? So that you'll have it, and then Dale, we'll talk after the show, and I'll get that money wired down to you or whatever.
Yeah,
we get that, we can do that stuff moving. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. Even if I need to put the money out front first, I have that. So.
No, there's no need to do that. I have it. We'll get it wired to you. There's no problem with that.
Yeah, y'all.
Okay.
High tech. I'm not that high tech.
Well, here's all you got to do. Here at some point, you'll give me your bank information. I'll go to my bank, and we'll wire it right directly to you. Somebody's calling on this number. I don't even know how they got it, but we'll see who it is. Oh, it's Josh again. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, you know, you just reminded me when you were talking about rescuing the perishing. The thought occurred to me that there's a difference between rescues and saves. And I want everyone to hear, you guys were just talking about how the money is worth it when you go and you and each one of these individuals got rescued, over 100 people get rescued, and the money is worth it for that. But guess what? There's a difference between rescues and saves. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out here for saves, okay? That's why we do the events where we see people and we preach the gospel. It's because we're after saves. That's where the money's at. That's what the money is there for. So you guys just remember to keep our focus correct. Yes, we got the boats out here. Yes, we got the choppers. Yes, we got that stuff. But that's not what we're here for. We don't want rescues. We want saves. Amen. All I got, Coach.
God bless you, Josh. Oh, hey.
Let Josh know I do have a case of Bibles that I'll be bringing. I heard him say that, and I already got some in the mail.
I think he's listening to the show. So, Josh, you heard that, brother. Dale's bringing you a case of Bibles. Hey, folks, listen. What would Josh Manna be doing right now if he wasn't connected with us? What would he be doing? And how many other people are there out there right now that could be helping, but they're not connected to anybody? They got connected to their church, but the church has no plan. Church has no plan of action at all. Prayer chain. Get a prayer chain going. Well, here's what you do. You pray that Josh Manor gets people saved. You pray that, and then he'll go do it. But you just can't pray they'll be saved. Somebody's got to go get them. Somebody's got to go rescue them. Man, that's intense. Josh, I wish I was with you. I wish I was with you. Daggone it. Rescue the perishing. Somebody jump in here. This is live radio, man. This is something. Do you think those workers for the Red Cross, you think they have that passion, that zeal? You just heard come out of Josh? Don't think so. Okay. You went silent on me. I lost Josh got me off my game a bit because it was so awesome what he's doing. I know he didn't get me off my game.
Hey, Coach, it's all about the money for a lot of them. I was talking to somebody that's waiting to see if FEMA will pay them the $2,000 a month. Then they'll go.
Isn't that something? So. Yeah, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Get that prayer chain going. See, there I am. I don't want to beat that dead. All right, it's Friday. It's free-for-all.
Coach, when I hear prayer chain, the first thing I think about is the chain, and you're chained yourself, your butt to a pew, and you're praying. Now, that'll not get too, you know, I'm grateful for prayer. And I believe there are certain people, you know, I love it when the older people in the church, they're praying because they feel part of, that's part of the body of Christ. But when I see young, it was the same thing in Springfield when I would get 20-year-old and 30-year-old men come sheetrock their house. I'd tell them to Google YouTube and learn how to do it yourself. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. David just sent me an email. He said, here's something to share with the group. Do not ask the Lord to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Pretty good, isn't it? Don't ask him to order your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Hey, Dale, just thought of something. I can donate right to your website. Will you get the money immediately, Dale? Do you have access to it immediately?
Oh yeah. I mean, my bank is right down the street from my house. Yeah. And so like I said, I have.
If I go to King Jesus Ministries and donate it, you'll have access to the money.
Well, yeah, you can directly deposit. We have both of my accounts are in my bank, which is a block and a half away.
Okay, good.
And, you know, so it's not a big deal. And like I said, if I had to pull and leave at this second to go down there today, I already have the money in my account, in the church account. So it wouldn't matter that I would have to wait for it to get there. I don't know all that stuff. I know.
I got you. Okay.
Ready. I'm going to talk to him afterwards because I already have gas cans out back and,
You know, I have the trailer, and if I need to make a run down there because my wife works tomorrow, I'd have to make a run today. I can make a run today.
Hey, Dale.
Yep. Well, we heard, I don't know, Josh didn't, yeah, hang on a second. Josh didn't tell you this. He told me before he left yesterday, his goal was to be down there at Port Arthur this morning to encourage those guys and have food and stuff for him. Before he went, he sat out, went out in front of the local Walmart with his boat and asked people to fill his boat. Isn't that something? what an idea. And people did. People did fill his boat. Was that you, Joe? Go ahead. Sound like your voice.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dale, verify with your bank before you transfer the money. Okay. There's no delay times. Sometimes they stick you with a day or two delays on major transfers. So verify.
Yeah, we'll do that. But I know Dale's got it covered, yeah. So we're okay. Dale's got it covered, so yeah. We're okay.
Yeah.
What do you think, Robert? I see you just weighed in here on with his buddy. How you doing down there in Georgia?
Doing okay, Coach. Josh and told him to let the Holy Spirit guide him because everybody down there is not a child of God. I mean, I know we get caught up in emotion, but there's bad things. Going to be led by the Holy Spirit because Satan's children's down there too, and they want to do evil.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, he's full of Holy Spirit, so he'll be okay. But that's great wisdom there, Robert. Good to see you, old buddy. Really good to see you, by the way. Anybody else you want me to go? It's Friday free for all. What do you want to talk about? Because I always got something. You know that. Come on, man.
Well, it's never a problem for me to open my mouth. I figured I was going to sit back and let others talk, bro.
Well, Dale, maybe we get Roger. Roger seems to want to say something.
I'll jump in here. I have wondered over all these years that all of us have been awake and prepping, and, you know, you guys know where my mindset is coming from behavioral and issues such as that. And I know I'm premature. Nobody's going to have the answer to this, but I'm really curious to know as to how these teenagers, millennials, have been behaving. These out of control kids that are punching mommy in the face one day, and now here we are in a world crisis situation. And to take it even deeper, all of the mass autistic kids, severely autistic kids, the MR kids. So there's a whole population out here that just can't function from day to day, whether it's beating up mommy, mass medications, or basically mentally retarded. Now, how many deaths are there in reality? I know yesterday I saw maybe 30 to 40 deaths. I don't believe that. I saw a report about 5 kids being swept away in the flood. Now, how many kids are really dead? Either because they refuse to follow directions, refuse to control themselves, or how many kids or teenagers have actually been killing people?
That's a good question, man. Hey, we've created these monsters, right? And yes. Hopefully they don't come back and eat us. Roger, you want to jump in? I see you driving down the road there. We can hear you. No, we can't. You got to unmute yourself. Keep your eye on the road. Still can't hear you. Can't hear you. That's okay. All right. Chad S. has just emailed me, said there's more death here than there was with Hurricane Katrina. See, we don't know. Guys, there are people dead we don't even know about yet. They don't even know about. One of the points that I think that we have to understand, what separates up what we are doing from what the government is doing, is we're sharing the bread of life. Josh was right on, man. We're saving people, not just rescuing them. We're saving them. That's what makes us unique. Why we do what we do. Yeah, go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry then.
Okay. I was just going to ask Chad, does he think there's going to be a curfew that's going to interfere with our works coming up down the pike?
Chad, what do you think about that? He may not be able to answer right now, Ray. I know this. Chad's already working to pull the strings to be able to make sure that we're able to get through and do what we need to do. There may be a curfew. there may be a curfew coming up in the next week, but I don't think when we're heading down there. Yeah, Dale.
Coach, this is Ray here. We do have a curfew in force right now in Houston and things. I forget exactly what time it's locked down, but I want to say it's something from 10 to 5 or 11 to 5 in the Houston area. So there is a curfew going.
Okay, that's good to know, Ray. Hey, listen, Lord just tapped me on the shoulder. Here you go. Talk about a downline. Every one of you. Hey, guys, try to raise $1,000. We all know different people. Ask for 20 people for $50. Tell them what it's all about, what we're doing. Think how much money we could right here in this queue if everybody went out down their downline and got $1,000 for it. This is massive. We got to keep these guys. We got to keep these guys working and what a gospel opportunity we have before us. Somebody else trying to get in. Roger's trying, but he can't get it to work on his end. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. Hey, a couple of things. I'll echo what you just said. You know, I called my dad yesterday. He's 82 years old, and he's got a heart for big time. And I told him about. He knows about you. He knows about how we work together, what we're doing, and so he's sending me a check that I'll be forwarding on to you. But you know, the thing, we have not because we ask not.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's never been more true. And the second thing, or you know, the United States, whether we like it or not, we're getting ready to get hit on many fronts. And I believe the main reason is because there, for years and years, there has been little to no repentance on the part of the people of the U.S. and even the church. And so this really is the time, people that are listening, to get your house in order spiritually, physically, emotionally, every which way, so not only we can help our families, but be a blessing to those in the days ahead, because I believe that day is fastly approaching.
Yeah, I do too. Not doom or gloom, but it's just happens to be the truth. It just happens to be the truth. Sarge, hey, look down there. Kevin Van Story. Kevin, can you join us there, brother? Can you unmute yourself?
I'm on here, brother.
All right, Kevin. God bless you. Kevin's in Missouri. Yeah, you sure are there. Good to see you. Kevin, from a pastoral standpoint, you're a pastor out there. What do you think about the idea that we're talking about, that the local churches are not prepared, man? They're not prepared. What would you say about that?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. You know, there's 150 churches in the Joplin, Neosho, southwest corner of Missouri area. And I'm going to say less than 10% of them preach the real gospel. They preach the word as it's supposed to be. I'm fortunate enough that I'm in one of the churches that do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, Coach, I am not a pastor. I am just Kevin. I'm just a regular guy, but God's called me to do something that I could never imagine. I do want to say something. This deal with Houston, you know, I got to experience firsthand the tornado that destroyed Joplin, Missouri. And we had over 6,700 homes destroyed in 30 minutes time. We had over almost 2,000 businesses destroyed. And this thing in Houston, they're already saying that between 44 and 50,000 homes are destroyed and over 100,000 homes have been damaged. You're talking, this is going to be massive. This is going to be a long-term recovery effort. So, yeah, we want to put as much work as we can down there. And I do a radio show. I'm doing a radio show that involves real estate, which is my primary business. I record that this morning. And it plays tomorrow morning. I am going to spend about half the show asking for donations to help that I can send to you and your ministry, so we can help these people.
Amen.
Because I know what you.
Kevin's already put his money to where his mouth is. He's already made a sizable donation. We appreciate it, Kevin. Hey, listen, there before the grace of God go I, right, brother? I mean, it could happen to us. And think how brokenhearted these people are. Folks, we can't even I heard it in Josh's voice. We can't even conceive. Hundreds of cars abandoned along the highway. Think what you would think right now if your car disappeared. Just that one thing disappeared out of your life. The panic that would set in that you left your car along the road. And they leave the car along the road and they're going to go home. There ain't going to be nothing there either.
But the payment didn't disappear.
No, that's right, Larry. The payment didn't disappear. I hadn't even thought of that. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Turn to Jesus, folks. That's all we got to get him to do. Turn to the Lord. Yes.
Hey, Dave, I just wanted to reach out to Kevin and let him know I'll be coming through there on the 20th of September. If you have, if anybody wants to go down or if you have anything to transport down there, I can probably haul it.
All right, Kevin. Rich.
Rich, give me your phone number and I'm going to start collecting stuff at my real estate office and I'll have stuff for you to take with you. So just give me a number so I can contact you when you're on your way.
I'll get it. I don't have Kevin. I got your email, so I'll email you Rich's stuff. Rich's information, right? I'll do that. Okay, winding down. I got about 5 minutes, guys. I have the greatest show today. Prepared to give you. Just let me wet your whistle a little bit. On Monday, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I don't know if you guys know that, they're the genesis. They are the masters of the hate group, hate whatever. They're the ones. They're the website that says who's a hate group and who's not. They got sued, of course. But the breaking news yesterday, I don't know if you guys have seen this, just wetting your whistle because we're going to talk about it more on Monday. It's now been discovered that these scumbags, dare I call them that, these scumbags have been caught laundering money, at least that's the way that I understand it, overseas. They've been taking millions and millions of dollars, a nonprofit organization, one of the largest fundraising charities in America. They've been laundering money and sending it overseas to store up in bank accounts, paying huge, huge salaries. You know what's going on? They never figured anybody know. Their guys were in charge. Remember? Deep State was in charge. They were all on the same team. These guys are this is RICO. This is government embed corruption beyond what we can even imagine is going on. The Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm going to talk more about that. But I'm going to run over about 3 minutes here, okay? Just 3 minutes. I want to send you off on a good one. Hey, Jared, pull up that. Go right to my Facebook page real quick. I just got this. And just let this encourage you all weekend. This is a 4-minute video of Donald Trump during the primary debates. And I forgot all this, right? I forgot all this. We were living it at the moment. But now that we're a year removed from those debates, let this encourage your heart a little bit. It should be right at the top. It should be right at the top. No, where is it? It's always the same way, isn't it? There it is. There it is. 4 minutes and 18 seconds of Donald Trump being Donald Trump. Let this encourage your heart here this morning. Go ahead, Jared.
Because she bought Compaq. It was a terrible deal, and it really led to the destruction of the company. Now, one other company before that was Lucent. Carly was at Lucent before that. And Lucent turned out to be a catastrophe also. So I only say this, she can't run any of my companies. We brought it out. You were supposed to make $1 billion in the state. You lost 2.2. You have right now a huge budget deficit. That's not a Democratic point. That's a point. That's a fact. And when the people of Iowa found that out, I went to number one and you went down the tubes.
That's a matter of principle, and I'll tell you.
You are the single biggest liar. You probably are worse than Jeb Bush. You are the single biggest liar.
All right.
This guy lied. Let me just tell you. This guy lied about Ben Carson when he took votes away from Ben Carson in Iowa. And he just continues. And today, we had robocalls saying Donald Trump is not going to run in South Carolina, where I'm leading by a lot. I'm not going to run. Vote for Ted Cruz. This is the same thing he did to Ben Carson. This guy will say anything. Nasty guy. Now I know why he doesn't have one endorsement from any of his colleagues.
All right, John, I get to respond.
There we go.
Jeb doesn't really believe I'm unhinged. He said that very simply because he has failed in this campaign. It's been a total disaster. Nobody cares. And frankly, I'm the most solid person up here. I built a tremendous company, and all I want to do is make America great again.
Mr. Trump?
I never attacked him on his look, and believe me, there's plenty of subject matter right there.
Better
your brother and your brother's administration gave us Barack Obama because it was such a disaster those last 3 months that Abraham Lincoln couldn't have been elected. First of all, John got lucky with a thing called fracking, okay? He hit oil. He got lucky with fracking. Believe me, that's why Ohio is doing well. Number, and that's important for you to know. Number two, this is the man that was a managing general partner at Lehman Brothers when it went down the tubes and almost took every one of us with us, including Ben and myself. And just thirdly, he was so nice. He was such a nice guy. And he said, oh, I'm never going to attack. But then his poll numbers tanked. He's got very, that's why he's on the end. And he got nasty. And he got nasty. So you know what? You can have him.
A tough business to run for president.
Oh, I know. You're a tough guy, Jeb.
And we need to have a leader that is
real tough.
You're never going to be president of the United States by insulting your way to the presidency.
Well, let's see. I'm at 42 and you're at 3. So far, I'm doing better.
Doesn't matter.
So far, I'm doing better. You know, you started off over here, Jeb. You're moving over further and further. Pretty soon, you're going to be off the end. First of all, Rand Paul shouldn't even be on this stage. He's number 11. He's got 1% in the polls. And how he got up here, there's far too many people. Anyway.
Mr. Trump, take 30 seconds.
Let me just, you know, he wants to be a tough guy. A lot of times, you'll have, and it doesn't work very well.
How tough is it to take property from an elderly woman?
Let me talk quiet.
How tough is it?
A lot of times. That's all of his donors and special interests out there. So, that's what it is. And by the way, let me just tell you, we needed tickets. You can't get them. You know who has the tickets for the, I'm talking about to the television audience? Donors, special interests, the people that are putting up the money. So it is. The RNC told us we have all donors in the audience. And the reason they're not loving me, the reason they're not loving me is I don't want their money. I'm going to do the right thing for the American public. I don't want their money. I don't need their money. And I'm the only one up here that can say that.
Brothers, that's the kind of talk we need from the pulpit. We need to start calling a spade a spade.
Amen.
We need to make the church great again. Josh Manta, making Christianity great again. Christie's making Christianity great again.
Amen.
Chad Estes making Christianity great again.
Amen.
Kevin Bushy making Christianity great again.
Amen.
Salt and Light Brigade making Christianity great again.
Amen.
Hey, I'm sitting in for JR tomorrow on his show. He's on JR's on vacation. I'll be sitting in tomorrow. If not, we'll be back on Monday. Don't miss Monday's show. I promise you, we're going to uncover some of this evil stuff that's all going on. God bless you guys. Appreciate it. Hey, send us some money. We're going to spend it all. God bless you. We'll see you.